I want to speak to you upon a wonderful subject. My text is John chapter 3 and verse 8. It's a text about the mighty wind of God. And it says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, the 8th verse of the 3rd chapter of John's Gospel. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The mystery and the might of the majestic wind of God. It was that majestic wind that blew over 500 years ago in Germany and turned Europe upside down with the power of the gospel. And thank God that gospel is the same in its power right now. And we should be praying for God to blow on us with his mighty wind, the wind of God. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ himself indicated the truth of this verse is a fact we should never forget. The wind is an emblem of the Holy Spirit of God. Strange to relate that the same word in the New Testament Greek text for wind is the same as for the Spirit. So the Spirit and the wind, the name in the New Testament scriptures, it's the same word. Oh, that the wind of God might blow upon our souls today. Oh, that the mighty Spirit of God might come in all his fullness. Oh, to hear the noise that shakes the place with the power of God. The winds of the world have a great message to teach us all, for they reveal to us something of the mystery of the Holy Spirit of God. You come with me to the grave of Joseph and stand with me, or Lazarus, and stand with me with his sister Martha. Martha's bereaved. Her soul is troubled. And in John 11, verse 39 and 40, what a rebuke the Lord Jesus had to give to Martha. She said to him, you cannot take away the stone. You cannot touch the body of my brother. He's dead. He's in the grave 4 days, and by this time he stinketh. And there's nothing but the smell of death behind that stone. But the Lord Jesus Christ turned to her and said, if thou believest, thou wilt witness the glory of God. And that day, Lazarus walked home with his sisters back to the house. And what a day of rejoicing there was. old preacher said there was only one man not rejoicing, and that was the old undertaker. For he said, I can't get my full money for this job, for I only did half a job. So he was the only miserable man there. Everybody else was shouting and rejoicing. May God give us the blessing of the mighty wind of God. I want to speak first of all of the blessing of that wind. Only the wind of God can deliver to us the mystery of godliness. The fact of the Holy Ghost is the fact that we can hear the sound thereof. People say, do you really hear the sound thereof? Yes. That brings to us sweet assurance. How do I know I'm saved? The Spirit answers to the blood that I am born of God. That's how I know. I have the inner witness in my heart. I'm a child of God. I'll never be in hell. And should I happen to fall into hell, all the fires of hell would go out. Because no person washed in the blood can burn in hell. We're unburnable, hallelujah. But we'll not fall into hell, for the Lord has delivered us. And hell's fires are out as far as we are concerned. Oh, the wonder of the blessing of the wind of God. I trust that you'll be praying today on this Reformation Lord's Day. You'll be praying that God will blow again upon his church. God is not finished with his church. God has the purpose of the church laid out in the everlasting and covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And as I read my Bible aright, revivals will take place in the church during all its days. There'll be seasons and times of abundance of rain. Let it come, O Lord, we pray thee. Let the showers of blessing fall. We are waiting. We are expecting. Lord, revive the hearts of all. The blessing of the wind. May God put in your heart a longing, an agony, a hunger for the blessing of God that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow there. But we have something else. We not only have the wonderful thing of the blessing of God, but thank God we have the blessing of the wind. We have the birth of the wind. The Holy Spirit in our text tells us that the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. There is a mystery here, and what a mystery it is. We do not know where and how that wonderful wind will blow, but it certainly will. And thank God, we will say, I can hear the sound thereof. Happy is the Christian that has that sound hearing. I worried very much after I came to Christ whether I had really come right. And how could I be dead on sure and absolutely convinced that I was saved? A little verse that came to my heart. The Spirit witnesses to our spirit that we are born of God. And you have there the Spirit, the wind, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. And he witnesses to my that I am the Son of God. Now that is a spiritual witness. No priest in a confession box can give you that. No evangelist can give you that. That is the power of God when a soul passes from death unto life. For the lifetime of God. Wonderful. Amen. I'm going to live on. I'd like to live on and take the pension because I deserve it after working so hard for over 50 years and paying that abominable pension. And then they tell me it's going to be worth nothing when it comes to them. I think I'll carry a placard before Downing Street and accuse them of their thiefdom. Thank God, God pays his debts. If he is in debt, and he's never in debt, because he puts us out of debt with the riches of the glory that's in Christ Jesus. Oh, thank God for the wonder of the blessing of the wind. And the wonder of the birth of that wind in my soul. But there's something else. There is not only the blessing and the birth, but there's the blast of that wind. And what a blast it makes. What a wonderful thing it is when the wind of God blows. 120 men and women in the upper room, and they were praying night and day, and they were laboring that God would hear them, and suddenly there came the mighty wind of God. Turn over with me to Acts chapter 1, and in Acts chapter 1 you will hear the testimony of what happened in that upper room. And what happened in the upper room was this. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, the second chapter of Acts, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. No, this wasn't the sound of bagpipes or drumming kit in a church. This was the sound from heaven. No amount of drum music or pipes music can bring this. This is divine. This is eternal. This is the music of God. There came a sound. And it was the sound of a rushing mighty wind. No, it was not. It was the sound as of a rushing mighty wind. You couldn't analyze this noise. It's beyond scientific investigation. This is the mighty wind of God. And it was a rushing mighty wind that was in a hurry. And my, when God goes to seek a soul, he's always in a hurry. The Lord does things quickly. One minute you're going to hell and you kneel down and trust Christ, and the next minute you're bound for heaven and you're singing, "Washed in the blood of the Lamb." What a wonderful thing this is. And it says they weren't kneeling. I had a prayer meeting in my early days, and there was a fellow there, and he was a bit of a Pharisee, and he said, "You can't get blessed except you kneel down." Well, says I, that's a miracle, for the greatest revival that ever came to the church was the day of Pentecost, and they were all sitting. Not one of them was kneeling. It's not the way the body is that brings revival. It's the way the spirit is disciplined to obedience to God himself that revival comes. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues of fire. No, cloven tongues as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I used to run prayer meetings, and there was a man there, and he said, "You shouldn't let the woman folk into the prayer meeting." I said, "Why?" "Oh," he said, "they're not to pray. They have to keep quiet at home." Well, says I, "If you can make your wife keep quiet at home, you're a miracle worker. You should be getting a gold medal for it." But I want to tell you this, that the woman and the man were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So if some Plymouth brother, straight-laced, tells you, "No, the women weren't at the prayer meeting," they've never read the Bible. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they all spoke. They didn't ask the oversight could be allowed to speak. They all spoke because the Spirit gave them utterance. That's what happens when the Spirit of God comes. There we have the blessed blast of the Spirit. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. But we have something more than that. We have the wonder of the results of the Spirit's work. See, all these people from all these countries were there visiting Jerusalem. And God spoke to them, and every man heard in his own tongue. It wasn't some impossible language, a jiggle-gabber. It was a real language. They heard in their own tongues wherein they were born the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed. And they were all not only amazed, but they were rejoicing. But there's something else. The appearance and power of the Holy Spirit brought opposition. There'll always be opposition when God works. But there was something else. Look at verse 47 of the second chapter of Acts. "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." It wasn't a flash in the pan. No. It went on, and it's been going on since the day of Pentecost until now. And it'll go on until God's calendar is fulfilled. And every soul chosen in Christ before the foundation of the earth is touched by the power of God, saved by the power of grace, and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? You know what I'm talking about if you preached it in some congregation that didn't have the Word of God? They think you are mad. See, people do think I'm mad, so just let them think it. I'm not worrying about that. I'll sleep just as well and take two pots of porridge in the morning as well. But this I want to say to you, only God can do this. Listen to this word, the word of my text, and what a word it is. It tells us in the sweetest possible way, in that great first chapter of John's Gospel, it tells us that wonderful promise, and what a promise it is, and how it confirms what has happened in our own life and in our own heart and in our own most secret soul. And what is it? As I have read the text, let me read that text again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whence it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. There's a miracle that has been done in your life. It's an oft-repeating miracle. Every time you pray and touch God, there's a miracle. Every time God gives you a burden and you unburden yourself and your prayer's answered, that is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And you, hello, we can't tell where the Spirit's moving now or where the Spirit's moving 10 years from now, yet the Spirit will move and life everlasting will follow the footsteps of God's blessed Spirit. I trust today that we'll think of the birth of the Spirit, the birth of that wind. We'll think of the blessing of that wonderful wind of God. And we will think of the birth of that wonderful breath of God. And we'll think of the blast of that wonderful wind of God. Oh, wind of God, come sweeping through us. Anoint thy church with love and fire. May God give us a desire to know the mighty power of God in all his love and in all his power. If you're not saved, thank God I can offer you eternal life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Come to the Lord, confess your sin. And if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're a backslider, thank God, you can be restored to the joy of the Lord. And if you're a Christian, you can be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. May God pour out his Spirit upon us for Jesus' sake.